Above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. Words taken from today's epistle on this fifth Sunday after Epiphany, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You perhaps have in mind that it was not so long ago that you heard today's epistle and gospel. That is quite right. You heard them only this past November. These Sundays after Epiphany are used to fill up the space between now and when Septuagesima begins, which for us this year will be next Sunday, meaning that we will not celebrate the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. Depending on when Easter falls in a year, Septuagesima, and thus Ash Wednesday and all of Lent, begin either closer to or farther away from Christmas, from the new year. And for that reason, if Easter falls rather early, then toward the end of the liturgical year, that is in November, we must fill up the time between then and the close of the liturgical year and the beginning of the new one with the first Sunday of Advent. And it is for that reason that these Sundays after Epiphany are transferred to November. And we hear then the same epistles and gospels which we hear at this time of year. And so it was not so long ago that we spoke to you about today's epistle or gospel, though I recall very well that it was on the gospel that I preached to you this past November. Today, I focus rather on the words of St. Paul, which we hear so often at this time of year, for since the earliest times the Church has invited us in her divine office to read the epistles of St. Paul during this time after Christmas. In reflecting on the words which I just quoted for you, I think of the joyful occasion we just celebrated here, a holy Christian marriage. It is always a great joy for a priest here at St. Mary's to preach on the Sunday after a marriage, for he knows very well that the couple that was married here only a couple days ago will certainly be here the following Sunday to hear whatever he has to say. At that marriage ceremony, as many of you know very well, I said what I say every time someone gets married here. I congratulate the couple on having found their cross. And in so doing, I congratulate that married couple on having found exactly what St. Paul is talking about today, the bond of perfection. As the married couple held hands, took each other's hands, and following a beautiful tradition, also wrapped their hands around the cross, the moment they took their vows, they demonstrated in a very powerful way this bond of perfection, which is the virtue of charity. Nothing shows us the virtue of charity more than the cross. Our Lord said shortly before his passion, "Greater love than this no man hath, that a man should lay down his life for his friends." This is the love which must form the foundation of any Christian marriage, and indeed of all relations between Christians, even among our entire flock here. We know that there are different kinds of love, All of them are a part of God's plan. There is the love which, of course, we naturally think of when two people get married. Eros, as the Greeks would say, that is, desire. The natural love that exists between one man and one woman. A love of desire that, according to God's plan, leads to the creation of new life. It is, of course, to be expected that man and wife would have such a love. There is also the love of friendship. Friendship is a love which is based on some sort of mutual exchange. There must be some form of equality between two persons in order for them truly to be friends. They do not both need to be great athletes or great intellectuals, but there must be something that they have in common, something where they can say more or less that they are equals and therefore capable of being friends. Finally, there is that greatest of all loves, which the Greeks called agape, which we find throughout the New Testament, that is, charity. Charity is defined as willing the greatest good for someone, unconditionally. Charity is a sacrificial love, and it is, in fact, the love we hear about on a wedding day. In the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, we are told that this is the love that must exist between man and wife. Between man and wife, of course, there is the love of desire, and we hope indeed there is a love of friendship. But in order for their marriage truly to be sacramental, there must be that love which makes man and wife a sign of Christ loving and laying down his life for his church. St. Paul explains to us in the simplest terms just what it meant for Christ to love us and die for us. To paraphrase him, he asks, how many men would lay down their life for a parent or a child? Perhaps quite a few. We would be moved to do so by the love of affection, which exists by blood. How many of us then, he asks, would be moved to lay down our lives for a great benefactor, someone who had done so much for us? In this case, it would be far fewer. However, perhaps some could be found who would be moved enough by gratitude to make such a sacrifice. It would be considered a way of giving back for all that we had received from that person. How many then, he asks, would be willing to lay down their life simply for a man who was good? We could not think of any particular thing that good man had done for us. But nevertheless, moved by a sense of justice, a desire to prevent evil from befalling that good man, we might be moved to lay down our life for him. The number of people willing to make such a sacrifice simply for a man who is good, but had not done any particular good to them, are very few indeed. Well, he says, Christ is in none of these categories. Christ did not lay down his life for people who were tied to him simply by blood. He did not lay down his life for those who had done great good to him in order to pay them back. Nor did he even lay down his life for people who were simply good. No, he said Christ did what no one else had done. Christ laid down his life for his enemies, for those who had wronged him. And in such a way that he didn't even wish to be remembered for laying down his life quite in that way. For he himself said, greater love than this no man hath, and to lay down his life for his friends. Christ laid down his life for his enemies and did not even call them enemies. Rather, through the incarnation, he placed himself on our level, established some form of equality. For although he was true God from all eternity, he became true man so that there could be some basis for calling himself our friends. Even though we did not deserve to be called his friends at any time, yet in laying down his life for those who were properly called enemies, instead he calls us friends. If then Christ has so loved us, we must love one another. This bond of perfection must exist between us, right here at St. Mary's. The bond of perfection, which is charity. As for the first sort of love to which I referred, the love of desire, indeed, that bond does exist between some of us here. Some people here have been joined in holy matrimony, and others will do so in the future. But this form of love is clearly limited to such particular cases. As for the love of friendship, it is, of course, natural and understandable that we do not call everyone within these four walls our friends. That is to say, very often we know people, we encounter people here within our own community with whom we find little in common, and thus little desire to spend time with them. And so we are reluctant often to refer to them as our friends. Nevertheless, St. Francis de Sales reminds us that we all here have a basis for friendship with one another. For any two Christians, he says, can be friends because their friendship simply can be founded on a mutual love of virtue. This is enough to form a very strong Christian friendship. We may not often think of this, but as times become far more difficult for Christians, and indeed as it seems that one day we will all suffer terrible persecution, we will find at such times that anyone who goes by the name of Catholic, we will be glad to call our friend. Beyond this friendship, however, that may or may not exist between some of you, there is this highest form of love, the unconditional love of charity, the love by which we will heaven for one another. From this love, no one here is exempt, and it must serve as a daily check on any feelings of resentment, any feelings of rash judgment that are stirred within you toward your fellow Catholics in the pews. And so, as we prepare for this great season of penance that awaits, let us reflect especially in any way in which we have sinned against our neighbor right here, in thought, word, or deed, and failed to live up to that loftiest of vocations, to love one another and to lay down our lives for one another, as Christ has laid down his life for us. Amen.